I hear nothing.
Angel? Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Can you hear me, John? Hello?
We hear you, Angel.
Okay, awesome.
Okay. It's 6 p.m., and I'll call this meeting to order for August 7th, 2023. Would you please rise for a private invocation and the Pledge of Allegiance? Okay. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. At this moment in the meeting, I'd like to call for any citizen input. You have to approach the microphone, state your name and address, and let us know what you think. Having none, we'll move on to roll call. And Angel is on the phone, so he's present. Jonathan asked to be excused. Can I have a motion to excuse Jonathan from the meeting tonight?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. I'd like to hear a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll make the motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll second.
All those in favor, say aye.
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 Skip.
Okay. I'd like to hear a motion to approve tonight's agenda.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. All right. So for current business, we're going to discuss and approve the facility use agreement and resolution for 2023-15 for Latino Championships. We're going to hear from Valerie first. Okay, wait. We're not voting on any motion yet, so you don't have to recuse yourself. If there's a call for a vote on a motion, then you can recuse yourself. All right, go ahead and explain what the...
Okay, today I am presenting the Latino State Championship Tournament. It's an annual event. This year is quite grand and we're excited for it. Charles has requested the use of Alliance Park in conjunction with the rental of the Alliance Park Athletic Complex to host the annual Latino State Championships on Friday, August 18th through the 20th. With event setup taking place the night of Friday from 5 to 11 p.m. During that time, he will host the event and the beginning of the tournament, so round one. Mr. Garcia, the tournament director, is requesting the use of the Lions Park in order to expand the facility's availability to tournament participants and allow space to provide festivities and entertainment during the event. RV dry camp space is requested on 7th Avenue and East Hamlet Street, which has happened in the past on the park side of the event. So, along with the city lot at the corner of 9th and Pine this year, that would be new. Mr. Garcia has requested portable toilets and hand washing stations on the vacant lot that will be utilized for the RV spots. The tournament director has booked music entertainment to provide music throughout the weekends, events, and it has been assured that the music levels will not exceed those set forth by the city ordinance. Public Works will schedule 5 staff members for the duration of the event to provide field maintenance and facility upkeep. With the city council's approval for Mr. Garcia, Mr. Garcia will enter a facility use agreement with the city of Othello and provide a certificate of insurance for the use of the park and athletic complex, which the insurance has been provided and it is on one of the attachments. On to the budget, the tournament event representatives will incur the following. $464 is for the anticipated attendance for 500 plus attendees. And I believe we're expecting 4,000 people. We have $1,807.44 fee for the use of the Lions Park Athletic Complex. So that is the fields that will be rented. And a balance of $10,413.70 is a total combination additional, is a total for the additional items on the requested page 2 for the amenities. That's a total of picnic tables, garbage cans, dumpsters, portable toilets, and event staff. Note that event staff is on page 2 is $9,310. Total budget, $13,195.14. The organizers are seeking permission to use the city-owned lot again on 9th and Pine Street across from Lions Park for RV camping during the times allotted for the use of the park. This language is included in the resolution. Payment of the special event and extra amenities fee will allow Public Works to provide additional garbage can containers in the park, as well as cover the landfill fees for the waste disposal. So we have staff recommends the City Council approve the resolution 2023-15, authorizing the use of city property for the 2023 Latino State Championship. And form of motion, motion to approve the resolution 2023-15, authorizing the use of city property for the 2023 Latino State Championships. And that is the agenda. But before you make a form of motion, Mr. Garcia would like to speak regarding the extra amenity fee charges on page 2 of the special event athletic complex packet. Our public works director would also like to address that amenities also, those amenities.
Good evening, Council. I'm going to start backwards.
19 years ago, I decided to, this crazy idea that I was going to bring this event to Othello. It was an event that I played in for probably 15, 16 years in the Valley, in Sunnyside in particular. And it was something special. It was something that families attended. It was something that people came, they stayed, they hung out, they supported the community. And I thought, hey, The director was leaving, and I said, why not Othello? I looked at the demographics of the teams and where they came from, and they were predominantly Tri-Cities, Othello, Moses Lake, Quincy, Wenatchee. And I said, we can do this. So I started out with the city at that time, and costs were very minimal then. Our fields were very dismal then. So, you know, they equaled the costs. You know, I think I paid the first year $800. Then I thought, hey, well, let's give them a little entertainment. So I added a little entertainment. Fees went up a little bit. I got it, you know, bathrooms and what such. More teams started to come. At that time, first couple years, we're talking in the tens, 10, 12, 14 teams, right? It grew. We watered it. Added more entertainment, more vendors, and just we wanted to bring this money into town. I wanted to bring this money into town because I think our community needs it. I really do. I mean, we're a small community. We offer jobs at plants, and if you don't farm, then you drive a truck or you own a truck. That's just what we do. So I just kept watering it. And throughout the years, you know, costs kept going up. I needed a little more garbages. I needed a little bit more field usage. And so last year we got to, it was like, I don't know. I want to say without the deposit, it was about $2,400. I have no problem paying the event permit. I have no problem paying the field usage. I understand employees have to work. But up until now, there's never been a guideline of how many employees are assigned to those jobs for each event. I don't know what guidelines are used for events like the 4th of July. And back in the day, they used to have Fiesta Amistad. So all those variables play into, all of a sudden, I'm like, wait a minute here. When I saw, I looked at that figure of the extra man hours, I mean, first I wanted an application, because if you're paying that much, I would like to have a job. And because that was astronomical, the wage section of it. I get it, you know, costs rise. But at the end of the day, I've spent 20 years trying to bring something really special to this community so we could eat. But after 19, and I've never made a profit on this. In fact, we were trying to figure it out the other day. I think I'm about 50,000 in over those 19 years. I decided to turn it into a nonprofit because I figured, heck, I haven't made any money on it. And I never cared if I did or didn't. And it was the best thing to do. Now I have other nonprofits like youth wrestling and youth baseball willing to come in, pick up garbage. All the little things that cost a lot of money to do, you know, the little things. I drive away after the 4th of July and I look at that park because I live a couple blocks away from it and I want to throw up. It's so disgusting. I mean, and it has nothing to do with the city. You can drive by one of my events. It doesn't look like that. It looks as good as when I got it. So my big thing is I'm asking you guys to consider waiving that astronomical portion of almost, I think it's $9,000, because at the end of the day, I'm not sitting here making a paycheck off this, nor do I care to, or probably ever will. Continues. I'm hoping it grows. I mean, this is the biggest one yet. We're pushing close to 60 teams. The hardest thing I thought I was going to have to do was schedule it. And, you know, I've worked with the school district. The school district has given me two of their fields. They're also giving me the opposite streets of the park to park on and their other parking lot during that time in support of the event. And willingly, I'm giving some of their clubs an opportunity to make some money in donations. So it's a win-win if we keep it here. I mean, the reality is I'm committed to it. If you say I'm paying it, guess who's paying it? The guy sitting in front of you. And I will host it. But I guarantee you I can't afford to host it further than this year. I commend the city for those fields are beautiful. What you guys accomplished during the state tournament, Little League state tournament, kudos. I mean, it was nothing but beautiful to look at. Sadly, we didn't have a dog in the fight, so our community didn't really show up to those games because there was not a team there that said Othello won. It's just the way it is. But you have a time, you have a chance for this to escalate into more. There's youth baseball programs that can utilize that, host tournaments. The national director of USSSA will be here on that weekend. He's also the USSSA Washington director. So all those avenues are there. We've built a good thing, but I need the continued support of the city of Othello for it to grow. I hope that makes sense. I'm open for any questions. I mean,
for that. Kurt, would you like to speak on that in regards to?
Just.
Charles had to say.
First of all, when was it decided? Did you sign this paperwork prior to a value being put
no,
in there?
No. And we never have in the years past either. So it's
like a meeting, though.
Yeah.
We did talk about what we need, the necessities.
The normal. Yeah.
So you actually signed this paperwork knowing that there was a fee for $9,300 for employees?
No, the fee was written in after.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know.
Yes, the fee was written.
Was there a discussion when you were doing this paperwork that there would be if you did not want to do the work yourself?
We sat in a meeting. We talked about things that were needed, and I put out that we were going to need some more garbage cans. We were going to need some more probably porta potties. We kind of did this backwards in the sense because I wanted to leave the city alone because I knew you guys were trying to finish that state tournament. So, and then Yvonne said, hey, you haven't turned in your application yet. So I hurried up and basically mirrored the one from the year before is what I did. Because if you look at them, they're almost a clone except for their new version. And then after we had discussed, I can honestly say, and I don't think I'm wrong, that I was never told that, hey, we're going to add some staff that, and it's going to cost you X, Y, Z, you know? No, that wasn't discussed. And it was, the meeting was done in all earnest.
Okay. Know? So the other costs are kind of fixed. Those are passed on costs from, you know, the people that collect the garbage and, you know, that charge us the rentals for the garbage cans and things like that. So those are passed on costs. And I believe you've paid for those in the past.
Yeah, always have. And gladly, okay. Because
so the real do a good job. The real issue is the labor involved.
The 9310.
Huh?
The 9310.
Yeah, the labor involved in preparing the fields every day for you, chalking them, you know, smoothing them, doing that work. Okay, if you want to forego that and do that on your own without the use of our equipment,
he's already paying, they're already paying the rental for the field.
I guess
which includes
an explanation of how many people are staffed for that specific thing, because you've hosted other tournaments here. Mm-hmm. And so there is always a staff that is supplied in that. I'm not asking for above that in the field maintenance. Mm-hmm. Whatever that comes with, that's fine. They've done it for 19 years. They've done a phenomenal job. It's usually headed up by Felipe, and he has two or three other gentlemen that have always helped him. And to be honest, if a rake needs to get picked up, guess what? One, anybody that's helping with my tournament, they pick it up. You know, rake a line and those type of things. We don't chalk every game. It's not like Little League and the state tournament and baseball. The fields, yes, they are used, but they're not abused as if you're wearing cleats. Cleats dig in. Cleats mark more. This is more of a turf game now.
Trying to figure out what you need.
Yeah, it's not as extensive. Like I said, I don't know what staff is apportioned for those events. Like, it's never been on the paper. So it's for future use. I would say, hey, you know, this is what you're paying for. And if you need more, then this is what it's going to cost you.
So from what time in the morning to what time in the evening are you going to be playing?
We play 8, and the long day is Saturday. It's going to be, we start at 8 a.m. Our last game will start at 9:45, which is the co-ed championship. And
it's averaged about 2 hours, an hour and 45 at least, I would say.
We're going an hour and five drop dead time on Saturdays. So we have to move those teams through. Okay. I have to play 72 games from 6 p.m. on Friday to Saturday night at 9:45.
Okay.
And that's also using playing 8 games at the high school that morning. So like I said, this is the biggest tournament that I've scheduled and had to deal with. So it's been on my mind for 2 weeks now. So I've already got to figure it out. And then a month later, I have the world tournament in Pasco, which I'm expecting 60 to 70. So
like I said,
we're not reinventing the wheel. This is stuff the city has done forever. We enjoy those fields. We cherish those fields. We know what we have because a lot of places don't have those fields. Like the money was well spent on those fields.
And
my understanding with the costs of the rentals of the fields, there is a level of upkeep or staff upkeep to the fields. This event staff would be above and beyond that.
So they're paying. He's already paying $1,800 to rent the fields, which should include staff to maintain those fields during the day. That $1,800 is paying for something. It's not just coming out of thin air. That's why this is exactly the reason we built that park, built those fields the way they are, to bring tournaments like this in. And he's going to bring 4,000 people to town. That's a huge benefit to town. At $13,000. Would you consider your tournament next year at $13,000?
No, I said that there's no way.
I don't think there's any tournament that comes for that.
I mean, you know, we did the Little League didn't get charged $13,000. You know, I don't know. Did the league even pay for the field rental and all that?
No. Nope. I mean, mind you, we're not Pasco, but I'll give you a little insight on what I'm paying for Pasco. And
I have
the Dust Devil Stadium also for Pasco. So, and I'm paying $2,800.
And you're getting event staff there?
I'm getting the red carpet over there because they're expecting 10,000 people.
This is what we want. This is what we built those fields for.
Okay.
And I'm not threatening to.
I'm just sorry that we're having this conversation in this right now, in this late in the game. We should have had some sort of a meeting with the park and
committee meeting
that would have notified us of what, you know, what direction we were going to. Well, if we'd had a meeting, we probably would have quashed it in the meeting. Okay. The first thing I saw when I had looked at this and said, whoa, how can we be charging that kind of money? I know the reasons why, Kurt. I know the reasons why. We're not going to give it to you for free.
And I don't expect
a lot of labor free. And a lot of labor hours.
Huh? Would you let me please address this? Evening, Council. This is Kurt Carpenter, Public Works Director. We presented these actual costs to you because you have requested this time and time again. What are the actual costs? We don't have the ability to waive anything, but you guys have to know the actual costs to make an educated decision on this tonight. This is not something that is new. This is basically, I guess you guys have never had actual costs presented to you. We just want you to know what it costs to put these on. We're in full support of this, okay. 100%.
And they've been wonderful. There hasn't been any negative in our conversation.
And I
whatsoever.
Think when I looked at this and when I considered it, it's kind of like the pool. We operate the pool at a loss. There's going to be some costs we're going to have to absorb as the city to be able to make these affordable. You know, I don't want to charge. If we charge $12,000, $13,000 for a tournament, nobody's going to come. So there's going to be some cost there. I get it. The cost for the additional picnic tables and the garbages and things like that, it's reasonable. And I think that was reasonable for you to pay. The staff, I think we're going to have to absorb to make it a reasonable cost for him to put on the tournament.
And even, like I said, moving forward, I'm going to say this and I'll say it over and over. You got to give to get. The city's got to keep giving to get it. And if you want these people to come and spend money and visit this town, you got to give.
And we do want to cover our costs as much as possible, but there's a limit. You know, it's kind of like the pool. We operate the pool. We don't charge we don't even come close to covering what it costs us to operate the pool, but we're going to operate it. We're going to charge a reasonable cost to cover as much as we can and be able to give that to the community. So I kind of look at it like that. It's we're gonna have to absorb the event cost or the event staff cost to make it a reasonable cost for you to be able to put on this for the community.
It's like when I started this, I knew I wasn't going to break even, but it was just kind of a project that I wanted to see through. Like I told these guys in the meeting, my only goal is one day when I'm no longer here, maybe my kids run it. Heck, maybe somebody else's kids run it and they enjoy that much. I don't know, but I don't want to see it leave here and get it cost out of the way.
Okay. So we're gonna pass a resolution. We're gonna make a motion to accept this under a condition that I'm sure that the other council members, with what they've been saying, are going to now that the number is out there. Now that you've put it on a document that he's actually signed, okay, the council's going to have to give a variance to this, and we're going to have to do it legally, and we're opening ourselves up to issues, okay, in the future. If we would have had a committee meeting and discussed this, and you had what the council at that time would have said, no, don't put that down there. That's included in the rental fee of the fields, or gave you a direction to go with regard to this. But right now, today, in order to make a motion on this, we got to do it as a variance, a condition of removing that fee.
That's easy.
Okay.
That's easy.
But I'm saying that sets a precedent.
Yes, yeah. And going forward,
when we didn't need to be put in this position.
Well, and I think the intention when we set the prices is that there was a base level of event staff that would be included in that too, and a base level of upkeep of the fields that is included in that fee, and that event staff line item is for above and beyond that. And in this case, I think that what you're asking for is just the baseline.
In a perfect world, we have 2 hours and 30 minutes to prep the fields in between games, and we don't live in a perfect world.
Yeah.
We have one goal on Saturday, and that's to get through it, because Sunday is Championship Sunday, and that's when everything happens. So for these people, they're happy they get to play. But it's really about the event. They get to see their friends, they get to see their family. And I encourage all of you, if you've never been, you need to go. You need to enjoy it. Go out and get some good food and just truly see what I'm talking about.
Is there any more discussion that needs to be done on this? So I'd like to hear a motion, Corey.
I'll make a motion.
We're going to have to do the math to figure out what the exact value would be.
38.85.14. So I'll make a motion to approve the resolution authorizing the use of city property for the 2023 Latino State Championships for a total cost of 38.85.14.
Okay.
I'll second
that. Before we call for vote, she's going to recuse herself from voting. So all those in favor, say aye.
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 Okay. Motion carries. So your fee will be 38. That's the only motion.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you guys.
Look, I appreciate the due diligence you guys did on the work to figure out what the costs were, that we should probably have discussed those privately in committee and not put them on the resolution. Or Okay, moving on. Next item on the agenda. Is a public hearing for the Ochoa annexation.
The fun run.
Oh.
Run for a cause.
Okay, approve the facility use agreement and resolution 2023-16 for Columbia Basin Health Association run for a cause. Okay.
Okay. Again, the City Council is the authority to approve requests for the use of the city property. This August, CBHA will be hosting their fifth annual CBHA Run for a Cause. This year's cause is designed to raise awareness of the childhood conditions affecting the families in the Columbia Basin. The expected attendance for this event is 1,000 attendees. This year's event is also free for those who want to support and attend this great cause. CBHA has coordinated several color stops along the way, including school, district properties, and private businesses, and city-owned properties, all each in which have happened in the past. This is an annual event also. We have taken a conservative look at the safety and impact on the citizens and developed a safe plan. This includes the police department, in addition to coordinators who have carefully reviewed and taken into consideration all the safety plans in the past. There have not been any changes to any routes. So if we have any questions, we have our event coordinator with us and representatives here from CBHA. If you have any questions in regard to the event. The budget special event fee is $464 for the city right-of-way of Kiwanis Park and Pioneer Park due to the estimated attendance of 500 plus people. CBHA has paid $153 for the processing fee, which will be applied towards the combination total of the $464 event fee and the $510 damage deposit, leaving a balance of $821 to be paid upon council approval. And the staff recommends the City Council approve the resolution authorizing the use of city property for the Columbia Basin Health Association Run for a Cause Saturday, August 26, 2023, and facility use agreement. The City of Othello would like to make a financial donation as a Run for a Cause sponsor in the amount of $2,500 in memory of Liam Taylor Gomez. The form of motion, there are two. One, motion to approve the facility use agreement between the City of Othello and CBHA Run for a Cause and adopt resolution 2023-16 authorizing use of the city property for the Columbia Basin Health Association Run for a Cause Saturday, August 26, 2023. And the second form of motion is to approve the financial donation as a Run for a Cause sponsor in the amount of $2,500 in memory of Liam Taylor Gomez.
This is for childhood illness, right? Yes. Right. So
any more discussion?
Yeah, I want to waive the $464 event fee. Either that or add $464 to the $2,500 donation that the city is making. This doesn't use any.
That makes more sense. Yeah. On the donation.
Yeah. I mean, event fee for this anyways, I think is kind of silly. They're not really using any facilities other than the side of a road for a run and the trail down the parks, right? So. That's my thoughts on it.
Is that what we did last year too? Mm-hmm.
Okay. So all we need is a motion.
So I'll make the motion to approve the facility use agreement between CBHA Run for a Cause on August 26th of 23.
Resolution 2023. 16.
16, yes.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
You need a second.
Oh, okay. Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
And I'll make a motion to approve a financial donation as a Run for a Cause sponsor in the amount of $29.64 in memory of Liam Taylor Gomez.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Both motions passed. On now, the public hearing for the Ochoa annexation. We're going to hear from Ann.
Good evening.
As soon as the open the public hearing, right?
Well, I think she's got the agenda.
I don't have the script, but is that the first step?
Yeah, the first thing on the attachments is the public hearing. Okay, at this time, staff presents a neutral overview of the project and the analysis. Council asks staff questions and for clarification. And then I open the public testimony.
Okay. So we don't have the benefit of the projectors tonight. There are several maps that the council, you can access through your iPads. There's one showing the zoning and one showing the area of the annexation. If there's anybody in the public who needs a map, that map's available. So this is a proposed annexation of about 445 acres east of 14th Avenue between Lee Road and Main Street. And this would be your third time of looking at this. There's various steps in the annexation process. You have previously accepted the notice of intention and then you set the public hearing date for tonight. So there are a few things that go with the annexation. So first of all is actually whether to accept the annexation or not, and then the zoning. And the zoning is set in the comprehensive plan. There's a proposed zoning that is rather general, residential, commercial. So the proposal is to follow that and do C2 for the commercial portion and R4 for the residential portion. Staff adjusted the legal description to include the right-of-way for Lee Road, abutting the annexation, after discussions with Adams County on whether that was, you know, how each jurisdiction felt about it. And that was the conclusion that they came to, that that made sense for the city to annex and then in the future maintain that road. We may be in the future looking at some sort of an agreement with the county, other places where partway from one line to another, you know, it's a little bit complicated, but that is the proposal there. And then for Main Street, we believe that past annexations have annexed all of Main Street to the north boundary. The county doesn't show it that way. And so in this annexation, we're going to the center line of Main Street, just to make it super clear, that should clear up any confusion in the future. So we for growth for the city. And so this is, staff feels that this is a good proposal for the city. And with that, I'd answer any questions.
Council, any questions? I just have one. Who set the foot levels for the zoning? Where did that come from?
So
was that a planning commission recommendation or?
So that was me doing the best that I could on this map of looking at where those lines were and what.
Kind of following what they were previously from the property before it or what?
So we have this map that has no dimensions on it. It does have some property lines that maybe don't match with where the property lines are shown by the county. So I was measuring and then I rounded.
Okay.
Because I don't think when this map was done that there were any dimensions. It was just lines. I don't know if you saw the one that went to the planning commission. It was just lines with marker on a map. So doing the best I could with the information that I had.
Okay. Well, when we vote on this and approve it, will there be an opportunity to change those values?
I would ask what kind of changes you'd be looking at.
Well, if we wanted to decrease the value of light industrial in depth onto that property, because it's moving out away from town, away from the industrial section of the, of the city, Othello, where it exists today. If we wanted to change that value and make it 1,000 feet, and make more residential area, would that have to be done?
So that would be better done as a separate action at another time where we actually go through the process mm-hmm. of amending the comprehensive plan and amending the zoning. It's
okay.
Questionable if it would be valid to do that as part of tonight's action.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just asking.
Mm-hmm. And I do believe that these that would
don't
be the
actually get set
intention.
In stone, so to speak, and can't be changed later.
Zoning can always be changed later.
All right. Okay, any other questions?
We do have a representative of the Ochoas here that may want to make a presentation.
Sure, you can come up to the microphone and I'll open the public hearing at 6:40. And you can give your name and
yeah, absolutely. Gil Alvarado, GAJ Planning, PO Box 260, Westlake, Washington. As Ann pointed out, I am the designated representative for the Ochoa family. We started working on this some time back. The Ochoas have had some interest in terms of long range planning for that piece right across from Walmart. Walmart is obviously an anchor in most jurisdictions. There's been interest that has come to them. We started having some discussions about what could you really do with that piece. Really need to start off with the discussion of annexation. Otherwise, talking to folks about development of that site really isn't going to go anywhere. You've got to have city services in order to do anything. You can't have city services unless you annex. And that was in Ann's staff report. So maybe I could just add a couple of things. What I have prepared and also the question that you brought forth about the zoning. So this request is a non-project action. So it's just a land use matter in terms of annexation. There's no specific project at this time. That's not to say that we haven't had conversations with folks. We have. In May, we were at the ICSC conference, which the mayor also attended. I can tell you that there are some anchors who are interested in locating in Othello, anchors that you don't have now. And again, trying to walk them through the process of annexations. What does that mean? What does it mean to the city? So all in all, it was very positive. We appreciated the response that we got about the proposed annexation. So in the staff report where Ann mentioned the C2 and R4, we are requesting that R4 because it shows to us the most flexibility. We weren't interested in the R3 and R2. Specifically to the light industrial, the planning commission meeting, I did provide some discussion, again, not specific to this, but in generalities. There was another agenda item in front of the commission. And my pitch to the commission at that time was very similar to what you just said, which is, if you look at your zoning code and you look at what are the allowed uses in light industrial, I don't think you want to promote any of those right next to the residential area. Your allowed uses are wrecking yards. I can go down this list. So one of the things I'd mentioned to the commission was perhaps you push that light industrial further north, even as far as on the other side of Lee. Talking to the Ochoas and the team they have, one of the thoughts I had for them is that rather than seeing that light industrial at all along Lee, is you have commercial on that side. So basically you would have commercial, residential, commercial. Because there are folks who are interested in some commercial development along Lee, not something that would be listed in your light industrial provisions. Again, long range planning. So we thought that perhaps we could make that request for these zoning changes at the time of annexation. I had a couple meetings with Ben Sir. Ben Sir is the Eastern Region Director for Growth Management Services. So initially he thought that, yep, you know, Othello is a non-GMA planning city. He didn't realize that you're partial planning GMA city. So initially he had said, yes, you can make that request during annexation. He retracted that and said, nope, my fault, mistake. You've got to do it during the comp planning process. So Ann and I were having these conversations going back and forth. So we fully understand if there's going to be any kind of changes to that land use designation to the north, specifically that light industrial, it's got to happen from the commission. So we are prepared to continue to do that. Acknowledging the correction and the legal, when we go through drafting a legal description, it's based on what we have at hand. So if there are some errors, this typically comes up. This isn't unique to just this annexation. We didn't include the Lee portion in the legal descriptions because a lot of jurisdictions sometimes don't want to take in that right of way because they don't want to maintain it. They want the county to maintain it. I'd had conversations with the county. They weren't sure. They thought eventually there would be discussions between the county and city, and obviously that took place. So again, the adjusted legal description is what it is. On page two, there's a budgetary portion of it. And I guess focusing on the second sentence, both costs and revenues will increase as the area is developed. So to me, I translate that as kind of a level of service. When development does take place, growth pays for itself. So you'll evaluate that at the time of construction or projects, what have you. Pretty straightforward at this time. Lastly, I just kind of wanted to share with you, and I think Ann might have shared this either, perhaps with them, maybe a piece out of the MRSC about guidelines for evaluating annexations. I think you might have. Yeah. So if some of you have heard this before, I apologize. MRSC, which you're part of, Municipal Research Services, has a great piece. They actually have an annexation guidebook. And I'm just going to kind of pirate some of what they put together. So one of the things when you look at guidelines for annexations, there's some basic principles. And I'm just going to go through these really quick. The boundaries of annexation should be drawn in accordance with the ability from both a geographic economic standpoint of city services. You're already right across the street in terms of what you have on Main. The Lee portion of it, you're not there, but you're on the other side of 14th. So you're providing city services in that area. The population and assessed valuation of the area should be sufficient to allow the area to pay its fair share of providing services. Again, that goes back to the level of service when development actually happens and you start to see those construction numbers and assessed value, basically real estate tax. Area should contribute to the local growth pattern. City should encourage orderly growth where possible. Again, I think you demonstrated that because it's within your long range plan. You showed it as, you know, something you were planning for. So here we are, we're kind of moving forward with that. Area should be adaptable to anticipated expansion requirements of the city for residential, commercial, and industrial. So I think we kind of cover and check those boxes. The last one just has to do with special purpose districts, and I'm not going to go over that. So with that, council staff, I'd answer any questions you might have. Sleep, okay.
The only reason I asked about the footage levels is I attend the planning commission meetings, and there There has been something that has been brought forward from the Planning Commission director, and I am in total agreement with it. Once we move east past 14th Avenue, Reynolds Road, there shouldn't be a need for light industrial on the south end of Lee Road.
Right.
That it should, we should be clear of an industrial. How far out are you going to go with your industrial area? Well, right now, our future development plan has it stretching all the way to the freeway. We got to make room in there for commercial, and we got to make more room in there for residential. So I'm in total agreement with Chris that once we push past the east side of 14th Avenue Reynolds Road, that, yeah, things can stay up north, but on the south end of Lee Road, we should consider them to be industrial, or not industrial, but commercial. Residential and commercial.
Mm-hmm. Right. Those are some of the highest and best uses.
So I'm just concerned whether if we accept this in the way it's written in today, then that becomes zoning for that when it's annexed in.
Well, I think this just gives us a base zone, and then they will bring forward what they're looking for when they bring a project forward. Is that correct?
Or before. I mean, that's the next step. They can't make that request right now until it's annexed. Mm-hmm. So this is the first step, and then they can do the second step of proposing changes to the zoning.
So basically, we're just saying, as it stands today, this is the way it is.
Yeah.
But in the future, you could make recommendations on what you want.
Right. And if we look at it from the construction side, you know, shovel ready. So construction season, really, there's no way you're going to get anything this year. Utilities is a big deal. You'd have to obviously work with Curtin Company. These kinds of things take a little bit of time. So we can work with that. And again, trying to work with the commission and Ann as far as that long range zoning designation to the north. You folks know for the record that we really are interested in more of a commercial type designation than that light industrial.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Any more questions from the audience or from the council? Okay, hearing that, I'd like to close the public hearing at...
You need to give the rest of the public the opportunity to speak. I don't know that...
I already did. I asked, is there anything from the public? Hearing none, and nothing more from the council, I'd like to close the public hearing at 6:50, according to the clock on the wall. So, public meeting being closed, we take action for motion.
Okay, I'll make a motion to adopt Ordinance 1599, accepting the annexation order. Nope. Accepting the annexation.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Hearing that, the motion passes. Going back to the agenda, item D. We have the approval of the dispatch collective bargaining agreement.
For reviewing these documents with me. The police departments of support and limited commission staff have voted to accept the attached agreement. This agreement that they voted to support and accept is very, very, very similar to the previous one that the council had already accepted. The new agreement does add a 10-hour shift schedule outside of their defined work week, which is something that we talked about with the committee. Other than that, the numbers are the same. There's no additional dollars out. They've been working under the old CBA all year till now. They have accepted this one. Staff recommends that this be approved and we move on.
All right. I'll accept the motion.
I'll make the motion to approve the 2023-2025 collective bargaining agreement between Police Department Support and Limited Commission staff in the City of Othello.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion passes. Thank you. All right, item E. Who's going to talk to this? Abner, are you going to talk to it, or are you
going to? I'm
going to. Okay. Go ahead, Dave. Kind of explain what you got going here.
So over the last, I'm going to guess, month or so, we've had an issue with what's called Dispatch One Station. And what would happen is that the frequency selectors would go gray out. We couldn't figure out what's happening. We had Raycom here a couple of times and all. But then we come to today. The Othello Police Department 2023 budget includes $65,000 for a police explorer van. This purchase has been put on hold due to low numbers within the police explorers. So that those dollars are probably not going to get spent outside this budget. On 7/27/23, it was discovered that the police department dispatch one console number one was failing. What I mean failing is that it would sporadically shut down. We could not dispatch, we couldn't tone, EMS, or fire. Raycom came in and found that the Scoutware hardware and software were out of date. The failures would occur sporadically. I'd sit there and I could watch it happen. I'm not sure when it would happen. Luckily, nothing bad happened during that time. The service parts for what needs to change for the console are no longer available. The parts come from Raycom and they provided the attached quote to upgrade the hardware and software. The quote to upgrade one console station is $14,333.79. That would again fix and upgrade console number one. Console number two has the same parts in it. So they're out of date also. The request is to forego the purchase of the Explorer van and reassign those funds to fix and upgrade dispatch console one for the 14 grand. But I think we should consider doing both right now for the 28,000. Just after I submitted this agenda memo, it was discovered that there was some IP addressing that had been changed, not talking to each other correctly and all. Abner was able to identify those and fix them. Since then, the console station number one has not had the issue. So after the switch upstairs was fixed and all that, we seemed to figure out exactly why it was freezing up. However, the parts are still there that are needing upgrading anyway. This upgrade was going to be in the 2024 budget if we didn't do it today. Especially since they don't make these parts anymore. And if we do break down, then we're in an emergency mode. This is mission critical equipment. This is not something that we can hope doesn't break down or doesn't go down. Staff recommends that we upgrade both consoles instead of buying the van.
Didn't we just replace that console last year? So that's...
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. You said no. So
They're about 5 years old, 4 to 5 years old. And so, yeah, we did a good upgrade. This is the actual, what's called the Scout box underneath. And so it's not the entire console. This is just a piece of it.
The whole console, I thought the whole console was getting replaced.
It was. But the upgrade wouldn't replace the whole console. It would just replace some hardware underneath a simple box and then the software.
Hmm. Yeah, the other question I had is, you said that the Explorer program is down on numbers. How far down are they?
We're under 10 at this time.
What was the numbers when you guys asked for the van?
25s and above.
Wow. Are you expecting it to come back up?
Yeah. So there's some things that are happening with that. That, yeah, well, I'd be more than happy to discuss with you. Yes, we do want the Explorer program to continue. If right now, if it came to a time where we needed a van for the Explorers right now, we could rent a van and utilize that to get a group here or a group there. You know, that's that would be
that just renting equipment is just, I don't know. It just, if the numbers are kind of, I'd kind of like to see that money for the van stay there. The Explorer program is an amazing program. I know it is. My son was part of it. Well, and the things that it did for him is just, so I'd really like to see those numbers come up, and I don't want to take away from that program, but we have money in the ARPA program that needs to be spent. That's where I was going.
Well, I was going to say too, if this money was expected to be put into the 2024 budget and we're going to use the Explorer van money to get it done now, we could always replace it in the 2024 budget so that money's still there.
For the Explorer van?
Yes.
Are you gonna ask for a van?
I can, I'm in the process of the
budget. Like I said, I really wanna see that program go back to where it was. You know, it's just such an amazing program for those kids out there. And what it does for them, what it does for the parents, it's just, it's a good program. We need to have that program. I'd like to see it. So.
I can ask for to replace this funding back for the van in the 2024 budget.
Yeah. Awesome.
I think that would be good.
So I got a question on the, if we did both, it looks like we just doubled the one number.
Yes.
So there's no kind of discount if you're doing two.
No, because they're separate standalone units. And so it wouldn't be a deal.
That covers installation and everything?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I'll make a motion to approve the 2023 budget change to upgrade both dispatch consoles rather than purchasing the van.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay. Item 5, is there any unfinished business that needs to come before the council?
John, have you heard anything on the fire department, what we were, our last meeting with them?
Just nothing other than the fact that the truck's supposed to deliver in August. But no.
Next year.
No, this year. August, there was a email that was sent out to everybody from John, I believe. But it's supposed to deliver August 15th or something like that. No, I haven't heard anything about the... Gary was supposed to contact Spencer to get the ball rolling in regard to getting the money. And I talked to Spencer and let him know that he could be expecting a phone call or a visit from Gary. Any other unfinished business?
Just out of curiosity, the painting on the roads looks really good, but are we going to get the fog lines painted, the parking lines?
Sean's the engineer on that chip seal project. Mm-hmm. In the contract, they just replaced the striping that was wiped out by the chip seal. I've been trying to get a hold of the state who has done our striping in the past, and we have not been able to catch up with one another. They're out of Yakima that does it, so we're working on it. I don't know that will be done before fall or spring, but yes, we will be restriping everything. Okay. So.
Keep the microphone. The well that we had issue with, well number 4?
Well, 3.
3.
Most of the parts have come in. It looks like possibly maybe in a couple weeks they'll get it back online. got the bowls in. We're waiting on a few of the shafts. The motor's been rebuilt and it's back. So we're getting closer, but wait for a few parts. And then the filter for the power, we're trying to get that replaced. That's probably, I think, about a month and a half out. So we may put it in back in service before that happens. And then a couple of days we'll have to shut it down and install that. So.
And so you did have to pull it?
Yeah, there was damaged shafts. The bowls were destroyed. So we replacing all the shafts, the bowls. Basically, everything's new going down in the back in the hole.
So. Okay. How's it been going without the use of it?
We've been doing pretty well, actually. Right now, today, we've had 4 wells go down because of power issues, but
yeah,
able to get them back up and going, no problem. So.
Great. Any new business that needs to come before the council? Okay, the council will also receive the finance report. Spencer's put together something. Any questions on that budget and the outcome right now at this point in time? Did you look at it, Corey? Everything's okay? Everything's okay?
You think I wouldn't?
No, I figured you would. You might have some questions too. Okay. All right. So it looks like I'll adjourn this meeting at 7:05.